This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الحق المبين أحمده حمد الشاكرين وأثني عليه وهو أهل الحمد والشكر لا إله إلا هو سبحانه وتعالى إنا كنا من الظالمين. All praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and his family, his companions and his followers until the Day of Judgment. Today inshallah we'll continue talking about the second category of the seven categories that we're going to be in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yesterday we start talking about an intro for this hadith. Hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seven people will be in the shade of Allah in the Day of Judgment. And we talked about seven because there is seven categories. And we said also there are seven categories mentioned in this hadith, which is the most authentic hadith about this topic. But there is other people also will be in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Day of Judgment. And we mentioned that Imam al-Sakhawi rahimahullah, he said there is 92 different categories will be in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Day of Judgment. And we also explained yesterday that the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means the shade of His throne, as it been narrated in authentic narration في سنن سعيد بن منصور وغيره قال في ظل عرش الرحمن, in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne, in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne. And the first category was just ruler. And we mentioned that justice, it means to put things where it belongs. To put things where it belongs. And also, we said part of being just ruler, to remember that this hadith is not only talking about the governors and the leaders and the prince and the kings and the prime ministers. Those definitely among the first to be held accountable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being just and fair with their people, with their those who they are in charge of. They are in charge off. As Umar radiallahu anhu arda, he used to be so terrified from the responsibility that he carried. When he said that even if there is a mule in Iraq, will trip because the road was not fixed for the mule properly, I'm afraid that I will be held accountable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will be responsible for that. And Allah will ask me in the Day of Judgment, why you have not made the road and paved the road in a way or make it in a way that it is safe for these animals to walk. That's what he's worried about. Umar radiallahu anhu arda said, if I die, I make a promise, أَنِّي لَا أَتْرُكُ نِسَاءَ الْعِرَاقِ وَنِسَاءَ الْعِرَاقِ يَحْتَجْنَ إِلَىٰ أَحَدٍ بَعْدِ. I made a promise that when I die, there is no one, there is no woman will be left in Iraq, need any help from anyone else, anymore. She will not need any help from anyone anymore. Can anybody think why he said the woman of Iraq? Why he said that? Why he said that if I live, inshallah, before I die, I'll make sure not a single woman, a single mom, a single woman in Iraq needs help ever again. I will make sure that they will be rich, they will be sufficient, they'll have enough income that they will not need to ask for money anymore. Why did he say specifically about Iraq? He ruled Iraq, he ruled Syria, he ruled Egypt. Why specifically Iraq? Anybody knows? لماذا يعني خص العراق؟ قال نساء العراق. Huh? A lot of men died in Iraq more than any other region. Subhanallah, there most of the soldiers and the fights that took time, that took a place during Umar ibn Khattab time was during Umar ibn Khattab time happened in the area of Iraq with the Persian Empire. There is so many death, so much death took place, so many people died and left widows behind them. That's why he said, no widow will be left in Iraq, needs any help from anyone, inshallah ta'ala. So what I'm trying to say here, rahimahullah, was looking after every single member of his community and society. Even he looked after the animals. And let's remind you of another Umar, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah ta'ala, that he cared for his people to be fair and just with them, to the extent that he regulated how much the camel can carry and how much the mule can carry a day. He regulated that, how many pounds that you should load over the camel. And he said, if anyone will be caught in the market overloading the camel, overloading the horse or the mule, he will be, then is a penalty and he will be punished for that. Allahu Akbar. And you see, I'm not even talking about the people. He cared even for the rights of the animal who lived in his kingdom. And he cared also for the right of the people, for the right of everyone. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah ta'ala, and he revival that just what started, even during Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu arda, that in the beginning of Islam, the non-Muslim used to pay jizya, or kind of tax, a form of tax, okay, for the protection, for the service that they get. So when they grow up old, they don't make any money. So basically, there is no tax that they're supposed to be paying because they don't make any income, which is sounds like fair. You don't have income, so there is no tax. But Umar radiallahu anhu said, wouldn't be fair that we've been taxing them all, take taxes from them all their life, and now when they grow up old and they don't make money anymore, they will be left like that. Umar radiallahu anhu said, that's not fair. That's why Umar radiallahu anhu arda said that they will be getting money from Bayt al-Mal. They will be getting money to support them financially when they grow up old. He said, we use them when they're young and we cannot abandon them when they are old. So he cared for every single segment of the society, radiallahu anhum wa rahimah. Great examples in the early generation, how fair and just. But again, this fairness and justice has to appear in your work with your employees, has to appear when you hire someone, where you be basically in charge of a group of people, with your family, if you run an organization, if you run an event, anyone work under you, you've been ordered to be fair and just and merciful with them. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم من ولي من أمر أمتي شيئا فيسر عليهم فيسر عليه واللهم من ولي من أمر أمتي شيئا فشق عليهم اللهم فشقق عليه. He said, oh Allah, anyone who's in charge of any group of my ummah, any people, maybe whatever position that you have in, and you make things just difficult for people, just for the sake to make it difficult for them, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Allah, I ask you to make it difficult for him. And anyone in charge of any group of people, and he will make things easy for them, ya Allah, I ask you to make his life ease, and things go smooth in his life. So you can receive the blessings and the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the dua of the Prophet ﷺ against you. It's up to you to choose. Especially if you are handling a matter. And people are tested. قال الشوكاني رحمه الله لقد رؤيت أناسا من الناس. الشوكاني said, I have met people when they always talk about ruler, they're not fair, they're not just, they're not this, they're corrupt. الشوكاني رحمه الله said. And he said, and those people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them and put them in a trial and a test, that they are in a position to control very few people and to control a very small amount of properties. And the amount of injustice that they show beyond imagination. He said, Alhamdulillah, annahu ma wallahum ala riqab al-ibad, wala mannakahum al-bilad. He said, Alhamdulillah, that Allah did not give them a great kingdom like real kings and rulers. Otherwise, their arrogance and their aggression will be way greater than what they are doing today. And sometimes you have a store, you have a family, you treat them very bad. Then you turn your back around and you start saying, oh, this person is not fair, this person is not just. I mean, you with your own family, you're not fair and you're just. You in your own store, your own workplace, you are corrupt and you are not fair. And you still start pointing finger to others. Anyway, then the next one is talking, you know, before we go to the shabir and the shafi ta'atillah, I just want to mention something very important point for all of us to remember. One of madakhil al-shaytan al-salihin, one of the way the shaytan, the devil, deceive righteous people like yourself, that they tell them, Oh, this is responsibility. The Shaykh said the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you will come on the day of judgment, your hand tied to your neck, and if you are fair and just with people, that will set you free. Anyone in charge of 10 peoples will, in the day of judgment, يعني, regret the position. You hear this ahadith. Then what happened? You say, I don't want to take any responsibility of anyone. Ya Habibi, there is an event, I'll help, come and help this, come, take that, and I don't want. So it became one of the shaitan's tricks to block people from taking leadership. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to balance this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, the dua that He taught us, الدعاء الذي علمه لنا ربنا, قال, وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Make us an imam, leaders for the muttaqeen. So being leading other to goodness or to take responsibility, it is something you should not be running away from it. If you can handle it, alhamdulillah, you take it, but with the sense of humility, feeling the responsibility upon your shoulder. So you cannot take these ahadith a reason, a justification for yourself to not to come forward, especially if there is a vacuum and there is no one to fill this spot, The second one, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وشاب نشأ في طاعة الله. The second category is a youth who grew up with the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no doubt that youth is يعني الشباب هو زهرة العمر. It is the most beautiful time of our life. Youth is the most valuable and the most important part of your life. It is the best part of your life. And subhanAllah, youth is a very special period of our life. Very special period of our life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that we will be asked about our youth twice. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تزول قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن أربع. You will be asked in the day of judgment about four things. Two of them are very unique. عن عمره فيما أفناه وعن شبابه فيما أبلاه. About your life in general and specifically about your youth. قال العلماء, when the hadith said about your youth, this is cover the area from 15 years old to 40 years old. So some of you maybe start feeling good about themselves. You're still youth, young. Okay? Still youth. So this is the period of time that you will be asked once about your whole life, and that includes this period, and again about it specifically. What's so special about this period of time? What's so special about youth? What's so special about it? One, it goes very fast. La ilaha illallah. He wallah. Yesterday, I remember, being 18, being 19, being 20, being 30. You know, end of the 30s. Gone. Allah musta'an. You wallah, you will not believe it. قال الإمام أحمد ما شبهت الشباب بشيء إلا شيء كان في كمي وسقط. ما انتبهت إليه. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, youth is like what? In the old days, it need to explanation a little bit. In the old days, they don't have pockets like us today. When they wear thobe, this thobe has no pockets. So you might say, where do they put their stuff? Anybody knows? Where do they put their stuff? They hang it? No. Actually, their sleeve is long. Okay, so they put things here. They carry it like this. So that's why when you read in the history or the biography, he said he carried like Abu Huraira, he carried his hat, his cat in the, basically his sleeves. He used to put it here and walk with it. So somebody has his mushaf, Kan ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he carried his mushaf in this sleeve because they don't have pockets. That concept was not exist. So Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, I can't tell you, I can't describe youth how fast it's gone with anything except something. I was carrying it in my basically sleeve, okay, and it fall without even realizing. Can you imagine you carry a lot of stuff, very easy to lose it, that's right, because it's not very safe. So he said it's like this, you carry something, then you all of a sudden, I don't know what is it, it's gone. That's what youth is. Look back. How old are you? Whatever your age is. Do you remember 2013? 2013 just started. Now it's 2014. 2012 gone. 2010 gone. Remember when you just came to Qatar? Now it's been how many years? Do you remember when we just start studying? We just start working. When you just got married. I just got a baby. It's all gone. SubhanAllah, years goes very fast. And Shabab especially, that period of time, it takes long time. You know, when we were kids, little kids, it takes forever to be youth. You know, it takes forever to graduate from elementary school. You know, all the kids say, can't wait to be in middle school. Can't wait to go to high school. Can't wait to go to college. When you go to college, it's just gone. You start a job freshman, it's just gone quickly. SubhanAllah, that's one thing about youth. Two, you during this period of time, your period of this year, during this period of time, تكتمل شهوتك ورغبتك. It is the peak of your desires. Desires of every area. It's the peak in your desires. Wait until you get to 30 and see how much you care about money. And you care about saving, you care about, you know, in 20s, you care about, you know, in teenagers and 18, 19, your sexual lust is high. You think about marriage, you think about house. This is basically the desires and the raghabat, the thing that we like and desire and we want, and the lust as well, is so strong during this period of time, period of time. Also during this period of time, there is something else unique. What it is, I think it is one of the most busiest time in our life. I believe it's one of the most busiest time in our life. Why? Because there's so many things you are busy with. You want to study, you want to look for a career, you want to, you know, build your reputation, you look for a wife, start a business. That's most of the people get distracted with so many things. And also last point about youth, this is the life, or this is the age group that targeted by almost every single main business and entertainment business out there. They design it mainly for you, the best consumer, the best customer. If you look around us, the whole entire cinema, games, apps are mainly focused on this age group, 15 to 40 years old. You basically, to keep them busy, to keep them entertained, to be, there's so much shahawat also introduced to them, so much and so many organizations and institutes, they have nothing to do but to keep these people attached to the dunya more and more and more. In the same time, I would like to say, there's a quite misconceptions about youth. First misconception about youth, so many young people in college and high school, they think that they are just a kid. You know, I'm just a kid, Sheikh, I'm in high school, 17, 18, I'm a kid. Well, what that means, I'm a kid. If you're 17 years old and you die now, you will be exactly judged by Allah the same way 70 years old man, or 50 years old man, or 60 years old man, or 60 or 50 years old woman. If you are 17, 18, don't think you're as different. When you reach the age of puberty, you will be held accountable in front of Allah the same way any adult will be held accountable. Sometimes I see people, they say, a girl, she said, Sheikh, I'm still young, you know, inshallah, let me just, when I get married, I get older, you know, kind of free ride now, free life. A brother's in the university, I'm still young, I'm still... Yeah, I know you're still young, but you became already, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's eyes, you're an adult, you're a responsible person. You're a person Allah will hold accountable on the Day of Judgment. So this misconception about, you know, oh, he's still young, she doesn't need to wear hijab, she doesn't need to do this, he doesn't need to follow the sunnah in every aspect, thinking that just because he's young, that's not true. Number two, one of the things also misconceptions about youth, for misconception about youth, that people think, and maybe there's few people think that way, people think that religious people, only old people. Yani even, you see, even it has a historical background behind it. But in our culture, we say, this is Hajj. When you say Hajj, or is a Hajj, immediately you think of old men or old women. Hajj, we even think of someone old. Okay? Because they don't see that she's a young man that went to Hajj. You're too young for that. When you see someone, I remember so many times, people say, you're too young to have a beard. You have too young to do this, too young to go. That's, or the youth, what expecting from youth are not to be practicing, not to be very religious people. As if the norm that the youth will be sa'een, and they have nothing better to do in life. They're doing like bad things. That's not true. That's not true. As a matter of fact, the people through the history of Islam who carried the deen in every aspect, I mean that literally, in every aspect, if you look at the role model in every aspect of religion, in learning, in teaching, in jihad fi sabilillah, and you talk about, for example, in sadaqah, charity, community service, in leadership position, you will see in ibadah, righteousness, in all this area, youth always taking the lead. Always the main examples. Not the old people. Not the old people. Also, one of the misconceptions about youth, I found it, that youth cannot carry responsibilities. And that's wrong. So many times we don't trust the youth. That's why they run away from us. That's why they feel that the youth are being used by us, adults and older. Not trusted. Not to give them the responsibility. You know what? It's okay for them to make mistakes. But let them build their own experience. Your role is to advise. Your role is to help. And I think we need to invest in the young generation and to give them opportunity and to empower them and to lead from behind, not from the front. And a lot of time I have seen in so many people who work in da'wah field especially, with the youth, they use them more than they just trust them and give them a leadership position. So, let's talk a little bit about the concept of a youth who grow up in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a hadith reported by Al-Bazzar, Abu Ya'la, and Ibn Abi Asim, and Isnaduhu Jayyid, La Ba'sa Bih, it's a sound Isnad, that the Nabi SAW said, يَعْجَبُ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ شَابٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ صَبْوَةٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be amused by a young man or a young woman who are committed to the religion, practicing the religion, and they have not gone or done anything wrong in their youth time. Yani during their youth time, it was all devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were righteous, they were guided during that period of time. Because it's kind of hard. As I said, your desires are strong. There is so much pressure from outside, but you still manage to protect yourself. You still manage to say no. You still manage to, you know what, commit yourself to the right cause, to the right thing. That's you, if you are like that, a brother or sister here. If this is who you are now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proud of you. Is proud of you. وَالْعَجَبْ مِنَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amused by something, not because it's something he didn't know about. No. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَعْجَبُ مِنْ قُنُوطِ عِبَادِ وَقِرَبِ غِيَرِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be amazed by how, wondering how people are so giving up hope in Allah, even though the change is so close to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wondered not because he doesn't know, no, because he knows. He knows how things will happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wondering and amused by this young man or young woman because he knows how much pressure on him, how much pressure on her, how much reward waiting for them, but they still stand their course. So it's not something negative. It's not something negative, as some people thought. In هذا الحديث معناه لا يصح في حق الله تعالى. Because this sifah, this quality, was mentioned even in one of the qira'at, the صحيح قراءة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, بل عجبت ويسخرون, جاءت في قراءة صحيحة, بل عجبت, يعني الله سبحانه وتعالى ويسخرون، يعني عجبت من سخرهم وسخريتهم بك وبدينك ورسالتك. يعني as I said, there's another qira'ah in one of the verse referring to Allah سبحانه وتعالى, this equality which is something belong to him according to his might and greatness and perfect. It's a perfect, it has a, carry a perfect meaning. Anyway, so when you look at the youth who grow up in the worship of Allah, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the things that I always ask people about, when you think of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, okay, and his companions around him, how do you picture this? Do you think how many young men around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or how many old men around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Yani, what do you think? 50-50? 60-40? You know, Anas yaqul, among the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only two men had gray hair, Abu Bakr and Umar. That's it. Only two men has a gray hair, Abu Bakr and Umar. And the rest of the people who are around the Prophet ﷺ are young and youth. That's a completely different picture than so many people think. That the Nabi ﷺ hang out with like or stay with the old people. No. Actually, most of the people that were the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ are young. Young in age. As a matter of fact, most of the most critical tasks that it was handled in Islam, it was handled by people in their late, in early 20s, 18, 19 years old. It is something amazing, even from the beginning, from the day one. Ali ibn Abi Talib was just a young boy, young teenager, when he decided to stay behind the Prophet ﷺ, okay? And the Prophet ﷺ migrated to Medina, and he left Ali ibn Abi Talib to take care of the things that the Prophet ﷺ left, the trust things, the money that people of Quraysh trusted him with, so he can pass it back to the people who this money belonged to. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you see even people come forward to the battlefield when they are 14, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, you can't come. 14, you're too young. It has to be an adult. And you will see people even try to sneak, and like Mu'adh and Mu'awwadh, they're just young boys, Mu'adh and Mu'awwadh. They managed to sneak in the battlefield of Badr. يقول عبد الرحمن بن عوف, he said, while I'm standing, I see this young man whose his sword is as يعني, long, it's dragging in the floor. Dragging in the floor. سيفه أطول منه. قال يا عم أتعلم أتعرف أبا جهل? Uncle, do you know Abu Jahl? He said, مالك ومالا. What do you want from him? He said, I heard that he used to curse and talk bad about the Prophet ﷺ. قَالَ وَاللَّهِ لَئِنْ رَأَيْتُهُ لَا يُفَارِقُ سَوَادِي سَوَادَ حَتَّى أَضْرِبَهُ بِسَيْفِ هَذَا. If I see him, I will not leave his sight unless I hit him with my sword. Then he said, another man came and told me the same thing. قَالَ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ فَتَمَنَيْتُ أَنِّي شَعْرَ فِي صَدْرِ أَحَدِهِمَا. I wish that يعني, I didn't even worth one of the hairs of their chest. It's a way expression and the Arab use to say, يعني, I'm nothing comparing to them. That's Abdul Rahman Awf, one of the first 10 people accepted Islam. أحد العشرة بشرين الجنة يقول هذا. Accord in relation to two young boys who lived in their home and been taught about the Prophet ﷺ's life in Mecca, that he was been insulted by this Abu Jahl. And when they saw him, they striked him. And when they saw him, they went and they struck him. جاء روي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال الجنة تشتاق لثلاثة علي وعمار وسلمان. علي بن أبي طالب, I said early, is one of the young men in Islam who played a major role, not only in Hijrah, even in Medina, even in the battle of Al-Ahzab. He fought and he killed one of the leaders of Quraysh. Amr ibn Abd Wud Kabsh al-Katiba, he killed him, and he's still at that time, as I said, is still in a young boy. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اقرأ القرآن من أربعة. Learn the Quran from four people. And among them, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was what? Young boy, young man, teenager boy. Teenager. He said, I like to hear the Quran the same way it was revealed to me. And he will listen to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. What's Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, you think is old? He just barely make the 20s. And still very young man, very young man. Also, النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said about Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, هذا إمام العلماء. يقول عمر بن الخطاب أنه سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول يأتي يوم القيامة يقدم العلماء برتوة حجر في مسلم أحمد. He said that Mu'adh ibn Jabal said, I heard the Prophet ﷺ saying that Mu'adh ibn Jabal comes in the day of judgment ahead of all the scholars with the distance like the distance of throwing a stone. Mu'adh ibn Jabal aslam wa kan umru 18 sana. 18 years old when he became Muslim. And he died ala a'zam al-aqwal wa akthar al-aqwal. Yani I will give you the opinion that it mentioned the latest age. 32 years old. على آخر من قال قال ماتوا ابن 32 سنة. 32 years old. He died. Some said 28, some said earlier than that. But the latest date we have, 32 years old. Became Muslim 18 years old and died 32 years old. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هو أعلم أمتي بالحلال والحرام. He is the one who knows the halal and the haram the most in my ummah, in the nation of Islam, in the nation of Islam. رضي الله عنه ورحمه. He was a role model. He was one of the main teachers in Bilad al-Sham, in the Syria, in Damascus, in Damascus, رحمه الله تعالى. And he died with the plague, with the ta'un. He saw his son عبد الرحمن. He said, Ya Bunay, my son, this is something good, don't be mad. Because whoever died with ta'un dies a shaheed. فقال قال يا بني يعني he reminded his son and he said, what you are going to do. He said, this is the truth from your Lord, so don't be among those who lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّهُ الْحَقِّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ قَالَ يَا أَبَتِي سَتَجِدُنِي مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. He said, my father, you will find me among those who are patient. Those who are patient. Mu'adh ibn Jabal رضي الله عنه وأرضاه die later on after he got injured, subhanAllah. He got injured, then he got the plague as well, and he died. You have Usamah ibn Zayd, radiallahu anhu arda, another great companion. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam let him lead the army to fight the Romans, and he was not 20 years old yet. In this army, Abu Bakr wa Umar. In this army, earlier we said, trusting the youth, giving the youth leadership. That's what you're talking about. That's what you talking about. You have Mus'ab ibn Umair, awwal safir fil Islam, the first ambassador in Islam, who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent to Medina. Mus'ab ibn Umair, one of the leaders among the companions, still a young man. لَقَدْ أَدْرَكْتُ هَذَا الْفَتَى يَقُولُ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. I have seen this young boy in Medina. وَمَا فِي الْمَدِينَةِ وَفِي مَكَّةِ وَمَا فِي مَكَّةَ أَعْطَرَ لُمَّةً مِّنْ. When as we say in English, يعني a spoiled boy. Spoiled boy, he lived in a very luxurious life, like a lab of luxury. But when he became Muslim, things changed. And he was a leader. Zayd ibn Thabit, jama' al-Qur'an, fi ahd al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, memorized the Qur'an. Zayd ibn Thabit is one of the responsible people of collecting the Qur'an. قال له أبو بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه ورضاه إنك شاب عاقل لا نتهمه. You're a young man, a wise young man, who never have doubts him. And I give you the responsibility to collect the Quran. And again, you talk about someone in his 20s. Can you imagine in his 20s, taking the most critical responsibility? أخطر مهمة يقوم بها أحد في تاريخ الإسلام. جمع المصحف, to document the Quran, was given to someone still in his 20s. This youth, رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم, يعني a role model compared to our youth today, compared to our shabab today. What kind of responsibility that they carry? And is it their fault or our fault Or it's something shared responsibility between both of us. How are we raising them? How are we raising them? And it can go on. Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu ardah. A young man, another young man is amazing. كان لا يضاهى في ثلاثة. Nobody can challenge Abdullah ibn Zubair in one of three areas, in any one of these three areas. في العبادة كان من أعبد الناس. He used to be one of the great worshippers. كان يقول الذهبي قال مجاهد بن جبر إذ كان عبد الله بن الزبير لا يرى بابا من أبواب العبادة هجره الناس إلا تكلفه. Anytime he see people not abandoned any field or area in the act of worship, he will care to do it. فقال فنزل في البيت سيل. There is a flood came. So what he did, طاف بالبيت سباحة كلما حاضر حجر أسود غطس وقبله. He said he will, one day it was flooded and he made tawaf swimming. Every time passed by the black stone, he dive and he kissed the black stone. Because you always look at the area that's abandoned. Nobody making tawaf that day, he said, I will do it. He was praying and a huge rock fall in, next to him, destroyed part of the masjid. يقول والله من فلت من صلاتي. He did not even look at that distraction or that rock. During the war with the Umayyads. وَلَا يُضَاهَى فِي الْبَلَاغَةِ وَالْفَصَاحَةِ. He's eloquent, very good speaker, very good speaker. Once he was in Egypt, مع ملك الحبشة والسودان, at that time, يقال له جرجير, is a king in Sudan or southern of Egypt and that part of Africa. He said, this Jirjir called, he said, whoever killed the Muslim leader, I will marry him to my daughter. So instantly, Abdullah, this smart, sharp, wet tongue, he said, and whoever killed him among you, I will give him his kingdom and his daughter. قال وأنا أعطيه ابنته وأملكه ملكا. Very, يعني very sharp. والثالثة في الشجاعة. Nobody can challenge him in bravery. He is the most brave person you can ever think of. Muhammad ibn al-Qasim, 17 years old when he took Islam to the land of most of us here, or most of you guys belong to. أخذ الإسلام إلى بلاد السند, to Pakistan and to India. 17 years old, the first man to, or it's actually documented, to carry Islam to this part of the world. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, I mentioned earlier, young man, يعني die in his 42 years when he died. Look at the things that he accomplished in his life, documenting the Sunnah. وأول جامع للأثر ابن شهاب أمير الله عمر. The first one who collected the Sunnah officially, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, when he was the ruler of Medina, he made a group or a committee led by Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri to collect Hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you want to go, like you see in the area of ilm, knowledge. Al-Bukhari yuhadith wa ibn 14 sana. Al-Bukhari teached Hadith when he was 14 years old. Al-Imam Ahmad yufti wa lam yadqul ba'd. Al-Imam Ahmad does not have a single hair in his face. And he giving fatwa. Al-Imam Shafi'i giving fatwa, and he didn't grow any hair yet in his face. Very young in age. Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah, he used to give fatwa when he was 21 years old. He was giving officially a kursi, a chair in Medina, in Masjid Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and became an official mufti. 21 years old, Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah. When you look at the ulama and the scholars, you will be also amazed by how much they have achieved and stood up for the task. Take that responsibility. They didn't say, wallahi, we are youth, يعني we're young, that dunya qaddamna tawila, life is long, I can't, let me enjoy my life. No. And also because the society gave them the chance. The community, the state, the country, the place that they are in, have empower the youth. And this is something we'll need. نحن في العالم الإسلامي اليوم, today in the Muslim world, in the Arab world especially, the percentage of youth is unbelievable. It's beyond 50% of the population are youth. This is completely different than a country that I'm living in the West, in America or in Europe. When you see the youth percentage is what, 10-15%, or sometimes even way less than that, versus the Muslim world, very young, very filled of any fresh blood. But the point is, what you do with them, how you prepare them, how you make them grow up with filled of responsibilities. When you look at it, there's too many examples I give, but maybe last example I can give you, Muhammad al-Fatih, rahimahullah ta'ala. This man have carried Islam also to the West, the Europe, Eastern Europe, when he was in very young age. He reached Romania when he was about 21 years old. He reached Belgrade when he was 25 years old. Athens when he was 27 years old. And by the age of 30, he was already settled as one of the most well-respected leaders in the world. Very young. But again, the point is that they felt they were raised. هذا معاوية بن أبي سفيان كانت معه أمه في مكة. And he passed by a poet. قال له أحد شعراء العرب. قال يا هذا أهذا ابنك؟ Is this your son? She said yes. قالت نعم. Then he said to her, حافظي عليه فإنه إذا كبر فإن له شأنا لعله يملك العرب. Take good care of him, because if he grow up, I think he will lead the Arab. قالت أم هند قالت خاب وخسر إن ملك العرب فقط. What a loser if he's going to lead the Arab only. What a loser. I want him to lead the world. I want him to lead the world. وحصل معاوية, he led the world رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. So the point is how you raise your children, how you raise your next generation, how you deal with them. Are you drugging them with nonsense things? Are you making them irresponsible? Are you just making them live a spoiled life? Or you really raise them to be men and real and women? And by the way, youth also, I give example of a lot about men. حتى في النساء. It's examples, unbelievable leaders among women when they were young in their age, when they were young in their age. من كبار فقهاء الأحناف, one of the great scholars among the Ahnaf, is a great woman by the name Fatima al-Samarqandiya. Her father, Muhammad al-Samarqandi, who wrote a very famous book called Tuhfat al-Fuqaha, one of the most important textbook in the Hanafi fiqh. Her father, when he issued a fatwa, he used to sign the fatwa, and his young daughter, who's 20 years old, about 20 years old, he used to sign with him the fatwa. كانت تفتي مع أبيها. Ibn Sirin, his sister, كان ابن سيرين, when the student asked him, said, go to my sister, ask her. عائشة رضي الله عنها, 18 years old when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم passed away. يقول أبو موسى الأشعري, ما اختلف أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في شيء إلا وجدوا عند عائشة منه علما. They never disagree upon something, the companion, unless, جزاك الله خير, unless found عائشة has knowledge about it. So the issue here, it is, even among women, It's amazing. Hafsa, she memorized, Bint Sirin memorized the Quran when she was 9 years old. 9 years old. And that's not far. I know people in our community, girls memorized the Quran today, memorized the Quran in 10 years old. And boys memorized the Quran in 13 and 12 years old. But it's never only about memorizing the Quran. It's way bigger than that. It's way bigger than that. So how can we do that? How can I guarantee my youth, myself, people around me, to grow up in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? يعني كيف يكون ولدك أو بنتك ينشأ في طاعة الله سبحانه وتعالى. And a lot of youth ask me this question. Sheikh, how can I stay committed to the deen with all these things around me today? One thing for all the youth, and I'm now directing my talk to the youth. Don't ever think because you are young, it means you have a long life in front of you. Just keep this in mind. Not because you're youth, you're young, it means you have a long life in front of you. لا والله. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أخذ بمنك بن عمر شاب قال له عش في الدنيا كأنك غريب وعابر سبيل. Live in this dunya a stranger. You know, death is not far away from any one of us. Allah is not far away from any one of us. A doctor told me, he was with a young girl, 21 years old or 22 years old, in the hospital. He said, I sign off the paper so she can go home. Her lab's good, everything is good. 22 years old. He said, I make my round. And by the way, he said, by the end of the round, the alarm went. I rushed to her room, and I saw another face than that I just saw maybe 40 minutes ago. And we lost the girl. She died. He said, I just signed the paper that everything in the lab says she's fine to go home. Mad. So don't ever think that there is a very long life. Always remember death. That's one. Two, remember that you are a very important element in the society. Don't ever underestimate your role. As a young man, if you're 20, if you're 30, don't ever underestimate your role. And I want to tell you something about leadership. Leadership is never, ever, ever, ever about titles. Nobody ever give you permission to be a leader. You a leader yourself, because leadership is about making a positive change in the society around you. Had a what is his name? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. There is a very famous leader, is a Roman leader. He's a very famous. He said something interesting. He said, I would rather to have an army of deers led by a lion than to have an army of lions led by a deer. يعني جيش من الأسود تقودهم غزالة لا يريد. He said, an army of lions led by a deer, I don't want. But give me an army of deers led by a lion, I want that. That's what I want. SubhanAllah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with something better. He came with an army of lions led by a lion. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ul. Each and every one of you is a leader, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Each and every one of us is a leader. He has a leadership. So as a youth, you don't need someone to give you permission. You do need someone to give you permission to make a positive change in your life and people around you. And don't ever give up on yourself. Feel the sense of responsibility that you have. Number three, or four, al-ilm. Knowledge. Youth need knowledge. It's an excellent, you cannot lead without knowledge. And knowledge should not be an obstacle. Knowledge should be an asset. Sometimes knowledge becomes an obstacle. On the other hand, al-ilm, you said, I need to learn. I spend all my life learning. I need to learn. And you don't contribute anything. Do you think يعني, Mu'adh lived 14 years old? 14 years old in Islam. If he said, I need to learn, and he does nothing. No, ya akhi. So, my brothers and sisters, learning is an important factor here. To learn and to have the solid knowledge in every area or any area that you are going to be specialized on. Also make sure that you commit, you want to grow up in the worship of Allah, make sure that you commit to the ibadat, to the at least to the principle, to the pillars, to the great obligations of Islam. And you avoid the major sins in Islam. Avoid the major sins of Islam. And regarding to ilm, one of the most important thing about ilm, the good understanding of Islam. One of the most dangerous things for our youth, that they have no good understanding of Islam. المفاهيم الخاطئة على الإسلام is so dangerous for our youth. When somebody think that, you know what, in order for me to be a good Muslim, I need to go kill and fight, and you go, and we see today how we go, have extreme groups around the world, and extremists left and right, because they think that's what Islam is. Oh, that's what's really, you know, الولاء والبراء والقوة في الدين. It means that we can violate the rules of Islam. It's just misunderstanding. He doesn't know what he's talking about. It's sad. There's a lot of people today misled because they don't have good understanding of the religion. And today, العلم, the informations are so much, but العلم is so little. المعرفة كثير بس العلم قليل. There is so many information, so much information out there, but so few علم out there. Because العلم is a good understanding, correct understanding. Today you can Google any piece of information. But the point is not Google it. It's not knowing it exists, is understanding correctly. لذلك الشاطبي رحمه الله said, العلم في الكتب لكن مفاتيحه في صدور الرجال. العلم exists in the books, but the keys to it, to understand it, it's in the heart and the mind of the scholars and the student knowledge. There is no way there is an ummah will succeed if this ummah abandoned the scholars or turned the ulama behind their back. To make sure that you understand the deen in the correct way. Also, being around good company, surround yourself with people they are highly motivated. They have high goals in life. Not cheap. Not people have nothing better to do in life. They try to kill time, while time slowly killing them. So this is something important. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qala lahu, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. Be with, stick with, be patient. Because it's hard to hang out sometimes with good people all the time. You need to be patient, to have sub-patience. You have to have sabr. Stick yourself with those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night. And the next also point, always teach yourself to make dhikr Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will make you a worshipper. That make you a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reading, caring for the time, educating yourself, be proud of your deen. All these meanings are part of your identity as a worshipper, as a person who submits himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is also a few words I want to say to the parents. A few words that I want to say to the parents. Number one, choose the right spouse. Two, teach your kids from the beginning to have high goals in life. Don't aim low or aim high. Be good role model. A lot of parents say, Sheikh, kids, they don't listen. I agree, kids, they don't listen. But what you don't realize, kids watch. Kids watch. If they're not listening to you, they are watching you. So make sure that you are a good role model to them. Make sure that you free your home from asbab al-ghiwaya, from the things that take your kids away, from the deen, from being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make sure that we teach our children from the young age the tawheed. أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتُ إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي رَبِّ جُنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. Ibrahim, Imam al-Muwahideen, Ya'qub, his children are Muslims. Not only Muslims, his children are prophets and messengers. And he is worried that they might fall in the shirk. He wants to teach them tawheed. He wants to teach them tawheed. So this is something you should be very careful about, to care about. Don't take it for granted. Wallahi, don't take things for granted in this day. With this globalization, don't take things for granted. I have seen young Muslim from Muslim world, from Muslim country. They are their father, forefather, parents, or Muslims. From a Muslim family. A'udhu billah, they left Islam. And some of them almost left Islam. Why? Because they go to the online, start listening, go to listen to some of these channels speaking about other religion, raising doubts about Islam, and they lose their deen. They lose their deen. So what you need to make sure that we don't ever take things for granted. مَنْ أَمِنَ النِّفَاقَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ وَقَعَ فِيهِ. Anyone think that he will never be a hypocrite, he will end up a hypocrite. أَدْرَكْتُ ثَلَثِينَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ كُلُّهُمْ يَخْشَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ النِّفَاقِ. Everybody worry. يعني الخوف من الشرك علامة من علامات التوحيد. Having fear in your heart from shirk is one of the signs of the tawheed. That's why Ibrahim al-Taymi said, وَمَنْ يَأْمَنُ الْبَلَاءَ بَعْدَ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. If Ibrahim worry about shirk, who can feel safe after Ibrahim alayhi salam? Also make sure, especially those who don't speak Arabic, make sure that your kids know Arabic. اللغة العربية مهمة للأجيال. Very important your children to know Arabic. Why? Because this is lughat al-Qur'an. This is the language of the Qur'an. And you can imagine a generation comes completely cut off from the Qur'an. Even among our kids, يعني people who speak Arabic speaking, ناس ناطقين بالعربية, they speak now in English 24/7. There's no point from your kids, especially you live in Qatar. يعني this is a great ni'mah, you live in a Muslim country. Make sure you take advantage of teaching your kids how to speak Arabic basics. They don't need to be poets and sibawai, but basics, so they can understand Arabic. As well, make sure that you be positive with them, inspire them. Don't let them waste their talents and their time in things that will destroy actually their talents. Make sure that you invest in your kids' education. Invest in your kids' education. And let them care for time. Have good principles from the early age. Make sure that you have a good communication with your children. SubhanAllah, واحد من الشباب once told me, he said, I never ever, ever, alhamdulillah, did fall in zina. عمري ما زنيت ولا فكرت في الزنا. I never ever in my life. And I said, why? قال لي يا شيخ, my dad, my father, always told me, يا بني, my son, anytime you want to get married, let me know. أي وقت تريد تتزوج, أخبرني. Anytime you want, my father told me that. So I know anytime I want to get married, I know that I can go to my father and tell him I want to get married, he'll get me married. So I never thought about the haram. Smart father. Have a good communication with his son, with his daughter. Keep that line of communication open with them. Make sure that you are a friend. I know it's not easy. It's easy to be said, but it's hard. But so many parents, they start this late to start building a communication, rapport with their children. But you should start from early age. Take them vacations. Travel with them. Listen to them. Listen to them. Respect them. So they can trust you. You can be basically listen to you. And also understand that we're living in a time that our kids know more than us. Yani, I can't believe that. I just think about when I was young. Can I tell my father, oh, I know more than you? He will slap me. He will not. But the reality is, all my kids know more than me. Before I don't, my father knows more than me because my father read more, went to college, studied, experienced life. I know more than my kids in certain areas. Okay? But today, the globalization of the information, their access to internet, give them access to information beyond you. So don't start giving fatwa on medical and politics and all these things because they know more than you. You respect that. It's quite different today, the youth, than what they used to be before. And you have to adjust yourself to that, to respect them and to respect their time and their generations. And that will allow you to win them so you can have a good influence on them. I think it's important to teach our kids how to love Allah, how to love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And sometimes it's also more important to teach them why they should love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One man, one time a person told me in America, he said, Sheikh, ليش أحب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم? And he, why? Why should I love him so much? And he's serious. He said, just why? Tell me why. Tell me four reasons why I should love the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. And I give a lecture after that, says, why we should love the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And I realize I always say, love the Prophet, because I take this for, I know why, because as a Muslim. But so many young people, they really don't know why. They never read his life, they never know what he did, so they can't relate to it. So that's something we need to teach our children, this type of principles, and insult it, and put it in their hearts. I plan it to be this way. I know I have 7 categories and I only cover 2, but I plan it to take 2 and get into details a little bit about at least one of them, which today, as an example, how this course can be expanded. But tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, We will go very, very briefly over the rest of the categories. We touch upon very important points, inshallah ta'ala, in relation to the rest.